This might get weird.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Well, then cheers, Grace Helbig.
Cheers, Memory Heart.
You guys, welcome back to another This Might Get Real. And I'm going to tell you right now, this might get really shorter than you expect.
Mamrie's a little under the weather.
Honey, I am the witch in Wizard of Oz and the weather has crushed me.
Oh, but great socks. Always great socks. But thank you for making time in your illness to talk things reality TV, because it is the art that heals.
Honestly, this might get sickening.
Yes.
Do they still say sickening on Drag Race?
They say mama a lot.
They do say mama a lot, specifically Plain Jane. Plain Jane has some mommy issues.
And so does Q. Mama is the end of every sentence. I don't hate it, but I hear it a lot. Should we just start with Drag Race then?
Let's start with Drag Race, because I also just saw a YouTube short.
Yeah.
That was Plain Jane, and she was in a very Plain Jane kind of shade way, saying, some people might know this, but I'm actually the first Drag Race contestant who is fluent in Russian, despite someone else pretending to be.
Yeah, that's how she entered the workroom.
Right.
Yeah, she was throwing shots at Katya. And I was like, damn.
Well, first of all, Katya is so sweet, and I know it's all in like good fun, but also if I was a drag queen, I'd be like, maybe I don't throw shade at the most popular podcaster from Drag Race history.
Yeah,
right?
Successful talking head, unintentional but intentional comedian artist. Yeah.
Okay, so Drag Race, this was our musical to get out and vote.
Power. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting episode.
I agree. And what's weird is, like, I've been looking at recaps, you know, to refresh our brain, because it's been a week. And so many people are like, such a strong episode. And I was like, was it?
Well, I was, I guess, strong in that, like, the performance itself, my note is like, they all did pretty great.
Yeah.
All things considered in the performance. Some did way, way better than others. But the devices of the episode fell completely flat by the end of it. But I guess we'll get there. This episode, they're recording their own verses to Power. Is that the name
Power.
Of the song?
It's like our funk revival. I thought the song itself was incredibly fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I feel like there were mixed reviews about it. And also, like, going into, if you get chosen to be on this show, I always just imagine, like, you know what you're going to, you know, at some point you're going to have to write a verse. Like, if I were chosen, I'd be at home writing verse after verse after verse of different couplets and beats and things that I would just have on hand that are thematically a little bit different. Like, here's one that's just about how great I am and I'm going to snatch the crown. And here's one about, I don't know, I guess world peace.
Yes. No, it's so true. And also, especially like for Nymphia's case, I'd be like, okay, I better rhymezone.com the word yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. At least before you get there.
Or Maya. Yeah. It just rhymed equal with equal.
Confidently rhymed equal with equal. Didn't second guess it. And thank God for, who was it? Leland? The guy that was doing the recording session. He turned that into like an intentional moment versus like lazy songwriting, I think is what he was saying.
Yes,
it could be
he was like, look, if you're going to not even take the time to find a rhyme, give a pause and make the audience think you are going to rhyme. And then it just, you know, and then it let it fall flat on purpose.
Right.
But first thing I thought was, I think Plasma would have killed this challenge.
Yeah, very much so. And I think Mirage would have too.
Oh.
Lest we not forget sweet, sweet Mirage. Heel Mirage. Clacks. But then go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm hearing 90 voices in my head. I'm on so many cold meds. You just talk and I'll beam in from the sky occasionally.
Well, I was saying, I'm sitting here like talking about this, essentially judging all of this, but knowing that if I were ever put in a situation where I had to sing my verse in front of like a peanut gallery of my peers, and also learn choreography, I would never be able to do that. So I give these queens so much credit for the vulnerability it takes to get up there and be like, I'm going to sing my best in front of these girls that are cackling behind me.
It's so, oh my gosh. No, when you put on the headphones, I mean, yeah. Grace, you know good and well, we have on headphones while we, yeah. while we do our podcast. I can't even have Chip in the same house as me for fear yeah. that, because it's like that whole one-sided conversation and like out of context. The idea of putting the headphones in and having my competition hear me sing with no, I mean, obviously Leland and co slaps yeah. a beautiful Paris filter auto-tune on all yes. of this, but just the raw vocs.
I mean, let's talk about Q's raw vocs.
Okay,
those, I paused the TV. I think I was watching this on our flight back from Vegas.
Oh, really?
I had downloaded it before I got on the plane because it didn't have Wi-Fi, and I was watching it. And I had to pause it and look out the window because I was laughing so hard. And like, it's not totally fair to laugh because I can't carry a tune, but Q said they could and said
That's
they were
the difference.
A musical theater person. And even the closed captions read, quote, strained vocalizing. It's like, she's getting shaded on every angle of this episode.
Totally. I mean, poor Q. First of all, when they were like, oh, musical theater person, I'm like, what'd you major in? Like stage managing? Lighting? Yeah, yeah. Construction because you love bricks?
Yeah.
Because that was absolutely rough. I will say, oh God, can we talk about the actual performance though?
Yes,
with
yes.
Q? Haunted. I am haunted by Q in that outfit and wig doing this circular motion. I mean, I was scared, Grace. It was like a reanimated Michael Jackson coming out of a haunted house.
I was like, Lord Farquaad is yes. wearing latex and is gyrating. But I also felt like they clearly reduced her choreography.
Yeah.
And all she had to do was like kind of dance with the guitarist and then jump off the stage and do a little like step turn. And I was like, oh, they really set her up so she didn't look awful trying right. to do choreography, but also this outfit, everyone raved about it. I thought like it was jarring and I couldn't tell what my actual authentic like reaction was whether I liked it or not. I couldn't
Grace,
tell. I still don't know.
I felt like we were being gaslit. Because when I watched it, to me, it was Halloween Horror Nights. It was Michael Jackson in Thriller, like accidentally put to times three speed. Yeah. I watched it and I was like, the second her little ghoul ass popped out, I was like, oh, she's going to get raked over the coals.
Yeah.
And when they were like, this outfit, this hair, which I could see it's, I guess if I really squinted, it's like vibes of like Joan Jett meets some Freddie Mercury
yeah.
jackets. But no. But no.
Yeah.
I mean, vehemently disagreed with the judges.
It distracted from what, like the choreography that she was doing. Cause I didn't yeah. even really put it together till I watched like it back the second time to be like, whoa, she really didn't do much choreography comparative to like everyone else that had to learn their steps. But the outfit like distracted enough that you didn't notice that at first.
Yes.
But
here's another thing I will say about judging that I am just gobsmacked by.
Yeah.
How has Michelle not called out Maya's makeup?
I don't know. I can't. That's again, I'm going, do I know? Like this whole season has had me questioning
yes.
what I think is good or not as good. And same, I was like, her dress was beautiful. I love the feathers. I did love the little feathers around the butt. I thought that was so like funny, kind of.
Oh, not in the performance on the runway.
Oh, you're talking about performance when they were like, oh, she's wearing a
Oompa Loompa wig.
Yes. Once they yeah. said that, I couldn't unsee it. But but for her, at least I was like, she's so on the choreography mm-hmm. that I didn't mind what her outfit was
at all. True. Equal.
I mean, pretty great. Saphira is amazing. Saphira is my front runner.
I watched that performance
yeah.
and I said out loud to Beans, gives the Pharaoh the crown.
Yeah. Like, I got chills when I watched it. When you just watch an artist doing something they're naturally so good at, and they're just in that flow state where you're like, this is effortless. This is a person that is exactly living in alignment with their purpose. Like, it was so, I don't know, just like charged. I was so excited that I was like, yeah, she's it. She's the full package.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before, is like, we do not want to ever feel nervous for a performer.
Yeah.
And Safira has never made me feel nervous for her.
Yeah.
This is the first week that Jane made me feel nervous.
Yeah. And she is really fighting against that. I mean, she's cracked in the background when people are like, you seemed nervous. And she's like, I wasn't. And I'm like, it's okay to be a bit human and to recognize maybe you were a little stiff in that. Because also I heard Willem and Alaska mentioning that that choreography that they made us seem like Plane was going to have trouble with never even made it to the actual number. That they must have changed that last minute if she wasn't getting it in some way.
They have to, because they're not just, if they have some choreography that one person just can't get, they're not going to be like, and now we're going to send you off to look like an asshole and ruin the whole thing. Like, I feel like they set them up for success with the choreo.
I think they, I mean, at least they would try to, I imagine.
Yeah, I think so. But what was the strategy with the, okay, I have so much to say about the potion.
Yeah.
The immunity potion. Number one, why would you make this the last week you can use the immunity potion, knowing good and well no one's getting eliminated?
That's what I mean. It feels like something got fucked up. It feels like a producer, like, it feels like they bit themselves in the ass somehow trying to, like, set it up so that certain queens got on the bottom.
Right.
And I feel like something got messed up. Because clearly that's not, like, because then there's literally no purpose.
There's no purpose. They didn't, I mean, I don't remember how exactly Rue said it, but did they set it up like everyone was so great that we are not going to get rid of anyone? Because that's not how it felt, because they did have critiques about people.
They did have critiques. Like, queens were in Untucked learning the lip sync song. Like, but like, Plane was being like, I want to be on the top. I don't want to be listening to this song. Like, she was being a brat about, like, even being considered that she could possibly be on the bottom.
Well, listen, I didn't want to practice that song either, just because, I'm sorry, Meghan Trainor.
That, I was like, you're doing a whole episode about funk and then soul, this? And then you're going to play Meghan Trainor.
The whitest of the whites?
Yeah, I was like, something has happened on the back end of this episode.
Right?
That people, like, are messing things up.
A producer absolutely quit. When I found, when it was like, you have to consume the immunity potion. First of all, I think it's crazy that Plain Jane didn't take it herself. Second of all, I think it's crazy she gave it to who I think is one of the fiercest competitors.
Right.
If she was playing strategically, she would have given it to Maya.
I didn't understand any of it. I know that Nymphia has been asking for it. So my only thought was that playing in a producer mindset, which I believe she has a lot of, like, she is watching herself from, like, third person point of view as she competes in this program, that she was like, oh, they filmed me getting asked by Nymphia for this potion. Right. And if I don't give it to her, they can make me look like a villain. So I should maybe give it to her. And then I look like Miss Congeniality. And I can, like, shirk some of this stuff where everyone thinks I'm a bitch. I don't know. I don't understand it. It was so confusing.
I don't understand it either. But I'm also, my only kind of, like, mindset on it is that I think that maybe Plain doesn't realize how good Nymphia is and what the audience is seeing. Because when you think about it, like, Nymphia has brought, like, talent show, runways, like, all of those where she's, you know, the girls are going one by one. I don't know if they have a monitor in the back. Like, when she came out and did the traditional dance and some other things, like, and then you know how much she loves to downplay herself in the workroom.
Right.
So I wonder if they, if she really sold an image to Jane that, like, oh, I'm not even, oh, well, there's no way I'm going to be in the top three. When really all those moments she's by herself, she owns it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's totally true. Because I was thinking too, how does she know how any of the other girls did in this performance when unless it's all she has to go on are what the judges' critiques are.
Also, she was better at dancing than you in the final number, and you two were paired together.
Right.
Like, did she think Nymphia was out of was out of step when really it was Plain that was out of step? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I feel like something, I feel like the producers were working to set something up that didn't pay off somehow. And it left everything a little confusing. That said, the Safira Morphine lip sync was very fun, regardless of the Meghan Trainor. I thought Morphine did amazing this episode.
She did.
Like, hell yeah.
I mean, while I still kind of wanted Safira to win, I do feel like Morphine showed her range the most. And also, like, Morphine looked so pretty.
Oh, my God.
So
Morphine
pretty.
In the performance itself, was like, I could not take my eyes off of her when she did that one move where it's like a guy in front of her, a guy behind her, and they do that like body roll.
The body roll.
I was like, oh my God.
The body roll was so hot, and she was rocking this like Beyonce meets Britney Spears Toxic kind of outfit.
Yeah.
No, she truly had never looked that good. I'm always curious too, because you know how they bring like a shit ton of outfits, but like they don't know what the theme of the music's going to be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they're just pulling from their closet and hoping it kind of makes sense within it.
Also, we're getting so much that wig that she wore for her purple outfit on the Colors runway was Plain Jane's wig.
Was
that,
it?
That Plasma got sent home in the week before. So they're like sharing wigs like crazy.
They're reversing the curse of the wig.
Exactly.
I have loved all the behind the scenes stuff of Plain and our girl Dawn.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? I mean, like, look, Plain looked good in her little shattered green outfit, but it was not, I mean, and I also understand the perspective of like Dawn's aesthetic not being your thing, you know. It's more clown, it's more performance,
it's
art,
conceptual, which I'm into. I love a concept, give me a story, tell me all of the nuances, like a real piece of art.
Well, I mean, and I love a beauty queen moment too, but I love a beauty queen moment when it's what was the winner? She won over one of the COVID years. She's so funny. I think she's from Minneapolis. Do you know who I'm talking about? The queen? She'd be like, look over there.
Oh, Jada Essence Hall.
Jada Essence Hall is like the beauty queen shit I like. Because it's like so poised while being so funny and like and sassy. Like the Plain Jane beauty queen, it felt just a little too uptight.
Yeah, like I don't love an updo wig. Especially when it's like that pulled tight and structured. And also like the neckline of the dress like went up to like was super high neck. And then the green just kind of stopped. I wish she had like painted some of the green like to continue up her face or something. Would have been kind of cool. But I thought her look was beautiful and polished, but it wasn't like exciting.
Well, in general, having a week where no one goes home isn't exciting. And that's what brings us to the motherfucking Survivor.
Oh, my God. Okay. Last night was a lot. Okay, what do I have here? Oh, my first note is, wow, Banu is genuinely so bad at this game.
I can't believe it. Indian Flula is so terrible at this game to where, I mean, okay.
I was going up and down in an emotional roller coaster of whether I was fully entertained by it or completely bothered by it.
I got a text from Steve this morning, our friend Steve, that just said, or last night, that was like, Indian Flula's on my last nerve.
I'm sure to super fans. And then I started thinking, though, I kind of enjoy someone that isn't a super fan strategic. Like, he's a super fan, so he says.
Yeah.
But he has absolutely no concept of strategy in the game itself.
Yes.
So there is something kind of fun that he's like fucking up the game for all of these people that are super fan strategists.
Yes.
Because the other thing too is like, you could have a completely clear and genuine like read on him of being like, this guy's just kind of a character that doesn't know what he's doing and he's panicking. But how could you trust that completely when you're in that game? I'd have to be like,
or is he a mastermind?
Right. Is this fake? Like, you couldn't ever trust completely that you're like, this guy is just panicking. Like, you'd have to be like, is this strategy? Is this a new thing?
Is this absolute breakdown? Because like, okay, couple things.
Yeah.
One, I have it written down. I wonder if anyone has, to prepare for Survivor, taken acting classes. Because I feel like that could really help. If you're like, 100%. I can strategize, I can think it through, but I have a hard time just like selling a lie.
Right.
Take some acting classes.
Yeah, good call.
I think that would really work.
Everyone's at home building all these puzzles, which, by the way.
Oh my God, Hunter?
Hunter? Finally, we get a guy, someone that knows how to do stuff on this island.
Like, this should not be an anomaly.
Right. That he's like building a bed and then they cut to him and his entire apartment is just full of survival puzzles. And I was like, whoa, this is
I wrote down, could you deal? If Elliot all of a sudden took a room of your house and filled it with survivor puzzles that he was woodworking himself.
Yeah, I'd have to. I mean, yeah, because I'd be like, it's a hobby, an art form, and you're like, you know, keeping your brain sharp.
It's also very sweet that he does that for his students, too.
Yeah, this guy that is like the smartest, happiest-go-lucky guy decided to just maintain being a teacher because that he found he loved instead of going to a full-ride doctor's program. Yeah.
I mean, like, granted, crazy. We need to learn a lot of people's personalities because I was thinking how when you have a team that's so bad out of the gate, it's like we haven't really gotten to know some, like, I want to know Tevin. I want to know that, like, mom who didn't use drugs during all her labors. I want to get to know the other teams, and it's hard to when it's like the one team is sucking so bad that they're getting all the airtime.
Yeah, a lot of people I was seeing want to go back to a two-team system in the beginning.
Oh, God,
celebrate. that I guess it used to be two teams. With the three-team system, they see more often that one team will fail consistently, and that's how we don't get to meet all the other contestants. And with at least a two-team, it like splits up a little bit of the people on the show that you get introduced to, so you learn more about the cast.
But think about it, if you were in casting and you were casting Yanu, you'd be like, Kinsey is a strong girl, Q is a strong man, I forget the other girl's name, Jess
Tiffany?
Is the weak, I think so,
yeah,
you'd also be like, Banu is in shape and is a super fan, so that's a strong player, you know, you wouldn't, the sum of its parts wouldn't feel like the weakest team.
Right. I still don't understand how they are lose. I mean, this last one was very, very close to the point that Q was like having a mental breakdown about letting his team down on the last thing.
Calm down, Q.
No, I know. However, but then like 5 seconds later, you have Q's entire manifesto philosophy about turning liabilities into assets versus threats, which I was like, whoa, here comes some absolute game strategy that also sounds a little bit like a dictatorship,
right? Like, I have a note that just says Q talking to himself is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that part, like that whole team was really spiraling in a way that I was like, should we get the doctors to come into this team real quick and check them out? Because the other thing is we get Randon, whose arm just stopped working.
God. How terrifying is that?
I like couldn't, that actually was like a bit much for me. Like, I couldn't watch. Yeah, I couldn't watch that. And I didn't, like, when they didn't pull him immediately and they let him, like, sit out the game and then just let him, like, continue on with the day, I was like, this is insane.
Well, I will say I had, like, a different perspective on it only because I had a friend, Doug, when I lived in New York in our 20s, and it's not called rock star syndrome, but something like that, where he, you know, like from a night coming home from drinking, fell asleep and like didn't really like move all night and like slept like on his arm like this. And he woke up and his arm was dead for like 4 weeks.
Holy shit.
And then it eventually came back. It's like when your leg goes to sleep, but like normally your leg would go to sleep and then you immediately move it. But like this was like it went to sleep and you stayed passed out on top of it for 8 more hours.
Yeah.
So in my head, I was like, oh, I bet he'll start to get it back. I bet it's like a very extreme. He was pinching off some nerves because he's sleeping on the ground, whatever. But holy shit, when the doctor came in and told him what was up, first of all, Tevin's response to the word bulging disc killed me.
Yeah, that he was also like,
I want to talk to Kevin and Tevin and his fucking Andy Griffith love.
I know. I feel like soon we'll get to know him a bit more. But also, I was like, we're fully in this man's doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
This is a 15-minute doctor appointment, and they're telling us every little thing about what's going on. I know legally, I'm assuming legally, that they have to like show this much of this for transparency, since it is like a game that he signed up for, that it has to be like proven in some, like he couldn't sue them after the fact and be like, they took me out of this game without my consent or whatever. But anytime there's an injury, they do this on the show. They have a doctor come out and over explain every part of it. And Jeff T-balls up some softball questions for the doctor to answer that really removes them from full liability.
Well, I think that guy might have had some good strategy in his back pocket. So I'm sad we're not going to get to see him play.
And an idol. He left with a Beware idol in his back pocket he had told Venus about, that I was hoping he might pass off to her before he left. I don't know,
but do we
how
know
that works.
We know it was in his back pocket?
They made it. Venus said, I think, that he left with it in his pocket.
Damn.
I wish that maybe it wasn't that way. Because I'm like, how do you like pass that off to someone? Are you allowed to do? I don't know exactly how much you're allowed to do.
Well, I'm sure you could be like, let me go get my couple belongings from the camp, and you dig it, but like, how would you tell them? Yeah,
right.
It's
right.
Very interesting, but that would have been a great play. Let's go back to bitching about Banu. Grace.
When he goes on the journey and the guitarist and Liz, I think, were with him.
Yes.
And he just starts having a full breakdown.
Full breakdown. I'll say two things. One, kind of love the guitarist.
Yeah, his ability to like be in his character and also be there for this guy, because both of them know that it's gold what's happening too.
They're getting all the gossip.
Yeah, and that's like, that's valuable.
Mm-hmm, absolutely valuable, because he's not just saying I'm on the chopping block. He's also saying like, don't trust Kenzie. Like, do all that. Like, he's really spilling all the tea. And meanwhile, it's like, oh, can I just say, if you need me to throw up on cue, not the player, like C-U-E, not the drag queen or the quarterback, actual cue, just say, I'm not here to win $1 million. I'm here to win 1 million hearts. I almost threw my remote control at the TV.
I know. And he said it many times.
Many times. Like he had been rehearsing this at home and knew that was going to be his catchphrase. And he said it so many times because he was like, I got to make sure it gets on air before I get sent home.
But it's all like, okay, I'm torn on this because there's the genuine sentimentality that this is like a good guy competing on a show that's like his dream. But at the same time, sorry, Goose is barking if you hear her. I think we might be getting a delivery. She's got feelings on Banu as well.
Okay.
The other part of it is that that's similar to saying I'm here for Instagram followers. You know, you could make the argument that this person isn't here to win money. They're here to win hearts, which you could make
the
argument is likes in a social media context. So like, I understand his sentiment is very genuine and very sweet, but if like this is a game show that you're playing, and so you basically just said you're here for followers in a way.
No,
so
I agree, because he didn't go, I'm not here for the money. I'm here to donate the money.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like there isn't any of that. You're so right. You hit the heart to like an
Instagram
post.
That's the thing. You could make that argument that like it. So I feel like casting after this season, has to do a big reframe of how they're casting and who they're casting. Because I feel like this is the same with last season when people like quit on their own, like voluntarily quit.
Yeah.
Like every super fan out there was like, what the actual fuck?
Uh-huh.
Like, that is the last thing you do on the show. Same with Jelinski quitting on like the first thing. Like, you what? Like,
yes.
You how many thousands and thousands of people want to be in that situation? I know that they cast him because of his likability and charisma and uniqueness is like. And I don't know about talent, but
when they were on the secret mission and the girl and Banu starts immediately losing his mind. I mean, truly, he was acting like going into, like, he was acting like he was gonna go to the firing squad. Like, it's a TV show, bud. But like, when that one girl said, like, do you want a hug?
Yeah.
And then they all hugged. I wrote down, get a life, nerds. Like, that makes me appreciate that other episode, the first episode, so much, when the woman, the mom, was like, show me your stuff or I'll sabotage your whole game with the other team. Like, I was like, more of that, please. Yeah. Also, like, Hunter knowing how to cut a bamboo to make a joint of bamboos. Yeah. He shouldn't be the only person on the fucking island who knows how to cut bamboo.
I agree.
Like,
let's go. There should be more of a mix.
Yeah, give me more soda. She knows how to start a fire.
Right.
Something.
Then the other side of it, though, is that how do you trust what Banu's saying is true? Like, what? Like, I would be like, he spilled his guts, but it was so over the top, almost performative, that I don't know if it was all. What if that was a strategy to make us all like think? I don't know. You would.
No, it's
you would,
true.
You'd have your gut instinct, but you would have to consider the alternative because you can't trust anything in that game. So there is something interesting about him being the way he's being and wearing his heart on his sleeve so much, because we're seeing it a certain way. But I wonder if the people there aren't.
His sincerity is so intense that it seems false.
Yeah, and I'm kind of excited for him to continue to rub Kenzie the wrong way. So there's part of me that's like, her being like, dude, you're fine. Everything's okay. You're fine. Yeah. It's going to be more interesting to see how that continues to develop. If it does, I feel like we could get a quick, like, Banu's gone next episode. Who knows?
I want to know from a producer standpoint, and if so, it's brilliant. Like, obviously, Randon went home because of his bulging disc or arm issues. Yeah. Like, did Jeff go to the other team and tell them too? Or did he specifically go to Banu's team? So Banu would be like, I want to give you a speech. You were my guru. I was like, a producer could have told them that there's no elimination tonight. We didn't 100% need Jeff to show up.
They needed to fill out the content of the episode without a tribal council.
Oh, my God.
But I was like, yeah, this is very... One, I don't know what I would do if Jeff Probst, in full camera hair and makeup, walked onto my beach while I literally look like I'm covered in my own shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, hello. Especially because so many of them don't have a chance to interact with him one-on-one. I mean, Yanu has, because they've gone to tribal. The other two tribes haven't even gone yet. So
the other ones would be more starstruck.
Yeah, crazy. Well, we'll continue to see what happens.
And I just got to say, I would like some freaking eliminations in both Survivor and Drag Race. Enough of this.
Yeah, I know. This was a week of blue balls on eliminations.
Literally week. Also, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Producer mind kind of going with the immunity potion. Sorry to go back to Drag Race with the immunity potion. The fact that they had it run out on the week where no one was being eliminated. So stupid. You know what they should have done is they should have done something like earlier in the season, been like, OK, if you don't use it, you get two eliminations. Like, they should figure out more twists. This one felt like a half cooked kind of device.
Yeah, it felt like they added it in to spice up the game, but didn't really think through all the ways it couldn't work.
Right, or like on the sly be like, and if you do decide to help a sister out, then like, then they do out of the kindness, then they should like sidebar in a talking head with Jane and be like, we're giving you another one, but the other women don't know you have it.
Yeah.
Something. I'm just saying, let's freaking go.
Okay, speaking of going, let's talk about The Bachelor.
Okay, I have like I have one note.
Yeah, go for it.
And that's him and Kelsey?
Kelsey.
Him and Kelsey fucked.
They had to, right?
That body language cooking breakfast is like, you guys fucked.
I felt like I was watching a rom-com
in
the early aughts. I was like, you
someone
can't.
Sitting on a counter and the other one kind of touching their butt while making bacon. Sorry, what?
I mean, I felt like, what was that movie, The Holiday or whatever?
Yes.
I was like, what's going on here? This is undeniable. And then, so then we have the biggest thing of this episode. The Golden Bachelor women come in, give some motherly, maternal, mature advice to the women. It all seems to go well until Leslie comes to talk to Kelsey. They have a beautiful moment talking about both of them having moms that passed and being in this experience. And then Leslie drops the reality check that she didn't get chosen and she thought she was for the Golden Bachelor. And Kelsey's got to keep in mind that she might not be picked. And that's really important. Otherwise, her world's going to come crashing down.
I wanted to reach through the TV and smack Leslie.
Leslie walked in with bitterness in her baggage and said, I'm unloading it on this girl. I got nothing left to lose. I'm going to fucking burn it all down on my way out.
I mean, honestly, I was like, at what point do producers intervene? Because that's not fair that these three women are getting three very different talks. You're getting one person that's there's like Daisy is being told, like, don't overthink it. Just have fun. Enjoy this.
Daisy's being told, try to be a little sexy. Guys like that.
I know. Literally. And then she did. And then she did. When she saw him and before he was like, come on, what do you think we're doing today? I don't know. Well, let's go see. And she's like, wait a sec. And gave him a kiss. Yeah. I was like, oh, in the Daisy world, she basically just pulled a titty out.
Yeah.
Like that was crazy.
Oh my God. It was. Oh, and poor Rachel, not Rachel getting lockjaw before the fantasy suites. That's what people were saying on Twitter. Because I was like, this is so hard to watch.
Uh-huh.
And also, she's a nurse, right? So, like, I didn't understand why she was being, I mean, I did understand. It's embarrassing to be hurt on camera in a situation where you get this one day with this guy, this one night with this guy. And, oh, my God, did I fuck it up? Because I was trying to be brave and cool, and it didn't work out. I felt so bad for her. But the nurse at the urgent care that came out and said, we looked at the x-ray and it all looks fine, and then just left the room, and that was the end.
I was like, let's get that nurse on Survivor.
I know, seriously.
Let's get it quicker. No, look, the fact is they have no chemistry, and I think they're comfortable with each other. I think they'd make great friends. I think already out of the gate, it feels like they have a vibe that they've been together 7 years, 8 years.
Yeah,
they're like just so chill with each other. You need a little excitement. I still think and hope it's Kelsey.
Me too. I thought, honestly, all the teasers, I thought it was going to be Daisy that leaves him a letter this episode. And I do feel like it was a bit overproduced that they like wound Kelsey up into a spiral because her date couldn't have gone better.
It was perfect. So
it did seem weird to me that he said the same thing to both Kelsey and Daisy.
Right.
That he was falling in love with both of them. So I was shocked that a guy that's so cognizant of his words would do that.
I agree. But also at the top of the episode, and I could see him doing this, is like he's got so many rules and so many like parameters that now that he's down to the last three, I think he was really being like, I'm not letting myself like fully dive into this.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean,
I've got to fully do this because like now or never.
He cried in the beginning of the episode about
sweet.
Also, he brings up charity a lot. If I were one of these girls, I'd be like, are you ready for this?
I know.
Can you see yourself getting there? Because it seems like you're over there, still getting over charity. And I'm curious, like, what is the timeline of how long it's been since he did his finale to where he's at now?
I feel like this now, it's probably been a good amount of time, but I think they start up like a few months after.
Right. So I was like, was he in the right headspace? Because he's brought her up a few times this season, which is obviously warranted because he just came from that. But if I were one of the girls, I'd be like, how do I know for sure? Like, he was going to get married to this girl. That, like, now he's all about me. Even though, that said, I think him and Kelsey have amazing chemistry.
Me too.
And they seem great.
And I think the producer's clearly getting her wound up. I think it's especially fucked up because I do think that's why he sent Maria home. Was her moment of being like, maybe I should leave. And granted, hers was based in jealousy, not out of fear of getting hurt.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe there's a big chance. I love watching the theories on TikTok where, where if it's probably Kelsey going to be like, hey, if I'm not the one, send me home now. Like, I don't want to meet your family and fall further in love with you. And like, just send me home now. And then I don't know, but I'm excited. This is a good season.
Yeah, I'm actually, now it's gotten like really interesting because next week is the girls tell all, right? Yeah. Okay, which, I'm very interested in that.
That's basically, Grace, that's just Maria versus Sydney.
Yeah, that's what I'll be interested for a little bit, and then probably it'll be annoying. But because I'm like, this is also like a casting couch for the next Bachelorette, which right. I did see someone say, hey, unpopular opinion, but I think the Bachelorette should be Lexi, the girl that left because she's on a timeline to have children, and let her choose men that are on the same timeline as her. I thought that was interesting choice.
It is interesting, and I would hate that season.
Okay.
I would hate that season. Okay. My battery's gonna die both in my recorder and my brain. So one quick thing, I'll say one thing about Vanderpump Rules this week and then we can sayonara.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about it. Yeah.
Last year, a soundbite off the show was, hey, do you want anything? You to die. This year, they spent 5 minutes talking about their preference in sparkling water. That's the difference in these seasons.
Yeah. Listen, I watched the episode, not super into it. I would love to have heard more of the astrology session of all these women's birth charts. That would have been very interesting to me. But yeah, this whole like Sheena versus Ariana, and like Ariana's just being like, I'm not gonna fuck with anyone that's friends with him. Which, I have to be on this show, and so I don't want him to have more access to me. I have to live with him because financially, like, checks aren't cash and I can't move out. Like, I don't think it's outrageous for her to be like, no. I'm not going to be close to anyone that's super close to him while I have to be on this program where all my friends hang out with him. Like,
absolutely. I think I understand Sheena grieving the friend and maybe they can have it. You know what I'd like? I think Ariana would be fine with this. Maybe if it was just like, hey, if you need to have that friendship, I never want to hear about it.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about you never say anything about me to Tom and vice versa, and we'll see if I can handle that. But like this back and forth crying and like bringing her into it, woof woof woof.
Yeah, I know. And Sheena just keeps citing the same moment of them being at Upfronts 12 years ago and that Tom asked them to get in a photo. I'm like, is that the only moment that defined the friendship for you? There has to be something else you're fighting for. I don't understand.
What about Tom Sandoval coming into Tom Tom and it's just Pump Now?
I love that. With his dumbass necklace and his nails done and like a shirt that I think I bought from Zara recently.
Oh, man. Well, anyway. Step your pussy up, Vanderpump.
Yeah. I think next week's going to be an interesting week of programs.
Me too. We'll talk about the women's tell all. Hopefully Banu will, you know, not be put in a straitjacket.
We'll see.
Then what was the Drag Race challenge? Do you remember?
Ooh, I do not. Oh, I don't. But Dawn and Plain get into it, and it doesn't look like it's a bit. I thought it was going to be like, like bait and switch editing. But it looks like they really like Plain has a bit of a meltdown. So very excited.
Ooh, I'm into it. All right. Well, I'm gonna go take a bunch of
go rest
medicine.
And we were supposed to make this a half hour.
I literally got on. I was like, Grace, I might tell the people it's 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Here we are at 45. I can't help myself. I have so much fun.
Yeah. I know. All right. Love talking about this shit.
This got real.